Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, in the year of living biblically. My guest is A.J. Jacobs. His new book, The Year of Living Biblically, One Man's Humble Quest to Follow the Bible as Literally as Possible. A.J. Jacobs, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You know, my first question for you is you know, you went on this quest to literally live every rule in the Bible for a year. My first question is, you know, are you nuts?
Well, I think my wife would certainly say yes. But it was a fascinating year and an amazing, life-changing, perspective-changing year. So I'm glad I did it, even if it was a little bit crazy.
You've made a habit out of this. Your previous book, The Know-It-All, where you read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica from cover to cover, you've discovered a niche in...
That's it. I like to sort of be a human guinea pig and throw myself into these life experiments. I also work at Esquire magazine and wrote an article called My Outsourced Life, where I hired a team of people in Bangalore, India, to live my life for me. So they answered my email, answered my phone, argued with my wife for me. So I do enjoy these experiments.
Before we get to this book, I got to ask you, what's next?
Well, my wife says that I owe her big time after putting her through the Bible book, because it certainly was a strain. So she says it's got to be a year of giving her foot massages, but I'm not sure that the publisher's going to go for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Before we get to this book, would you read the first page of the introduction?
Of course. As I write this, I have a beard that makes me resemble Moses, or Abe Lincoln, or Ted Kaczynski. I've been called all three. It's not a well-manicured, socially acceptable beard. It's an untamed mass that creeps up toward my eyeballs and drapes below my neckline. I've never allowed my facial hair to grow before, and it's been an odd and enlightening experience. I've been inducted into a secret fraternity of bearded guys. We nod at each other as we pass on the street, giving a knowing quarter smile. Strangers have come up to me and petted my beard like it's a Labrador retriever puppy or a pregnant woman's stomach. I've suffered for my beard. It's been caught in jacket zippers and been tugged on by my surprisingly strong 2-year-old son. I've spent a lot of time answering questions at airport security. I've been asked if I'm named Smith and sell cough drops with my brother. ZZ Top is mentioned at least 3 times a week. Passers-by have shouted, "Yo, Gandalf." Someone called me Steven Seagal, which I found curious, since he doesn't have a beard. I've battled itch and heat. I've spent a week's salary on bombs, powders, ointments, and conditioners. My beard has been a temporary home to cappuccino foam and lentil soup, and it's upset people. Thus far, 2 little girls have burst into tears, and 1 boy has hidden behind his mother. But I mean no harm. The facial hair is simply the most noticeable physical manifestation of a spiritual journey I began a year ago. My quest has been this: to live the ultimate biblical life, or more precisely, to follow the Bible as literally as possible, to obey the 10 Commandments, to be fruitful and multiply, to love my neighbor, to tithe my income, but also to abide by the often neglected rules, to avoid wearing clothes of mixed fibers, to stone adulterers, and naturally, to leave the edges of my beard unshaven. I'm trying to obey the entire Bible without picking and choosing.
All right, so tell us what you did and why you did it.
Well, what happened was I grew up in a very secular home, no religion at all. As I say in the book, I'm Jewish in the same way the Olive Garden is Italian, so not very. But I wanted to explore religion. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's the defining issue of our time. And so I decided to dive in head first and try to live the Bible and try to live it from the inside and see what enhanced my life and maybe what didn't. So that was my goal, and the way I went about it was I read the Bible from cover to cover and assembled a list of every guideline, piece of advice, and rule that I could find. And that was a long, long list, about 700 rules. And then I assembled a board of spiritual advisors, because I knew this was a massive undertaking, so I wanted advice from rabbis and priests and ministers on how to go about it. So that was the second thing I did. And then I just sort of dived in.
And you write about the top 5 most perplexing rules. Tell me about those.
I mean, there was lots in the year that really enhanced my life and seemed incredibly wise. And on the other hand, there were lots of parts of the Bible that are totally baffling to the 21st century mind. So you've got things like, as I mentioned, do not wear clothes made of mixed fibers. So one of the first things I did was I got rid of all of my poly cotton T-shirts. You've got rules like if two men are in a fight and the wife of one of the men grabs the private parts of the other, then her hand shall be cut off. So I decided I had to follow that rule. That one I followed more by default, by not getting into a fight with a man whose wife was standing nearby with a strong grip. But there were hundreds of rules, and many of them have become, you know, very odd in our time.
Did you stone any adulterers?
I did stone one adulterer, as a matter of fact. It happened, I live in New York, and I was, towards the end of the year, I was dressed in my full biblical robes and wearing sandals and my beard. And this man came up to me and asked me why I was dressed so strangely, and I explained that I was trying to live the Bible, and he said, "Well, I'm an adulterer. Are you going to stone me?" And I said, "Well, yes, that would be great." And I took out a handful of pebbles that I had in my pocket just for this occasion, because it doesn't say the size of the stones in the Bible, so I figured this was my loophole. And he actually grabbed the pebbles from my hand and threw them at my face. So I figured, as an eye for an eye, I could throw one back at him.
How did he take it?
Not well. He was actually quite confrontational. But it also, it was, an odd and tense and somewhat entertaining experience. But it also allowed me to talk in a more serious way about capital punishment in the Bible, because in the Old Testament there is a tremendous amount. So it was one of the issues I wrestled with all year. How can the Bible be so wise and compassionate in some parts and so seemingly barbaric in others?
And how did you resolve that?
It's hard to say, in a soundbite, but one of the things I think I concluded was that biblical times were very different from our times, and they did have barbaric elements. However, the Bible is far more advanced ethically than other Middle Eastern societies at the same time. So it's a step in the right direction. It's better than the Code of Hammurabi, where they killed people for even more infractions.
Now, what did your wife say when you announced that this was going to be your next obsessive quest?
Well, my wife, she's a saintly woman, and
she'd have to be.
She definitely was a skeptic. She was excited in a couple of ways, because she thought that this might help me see the good side of religion, which it did, and it definitely changed my perspective. And she thought it might help me become more tolerant and more grateful. Again, that was true. But there was lots in the Bible that was not easy on our relationship. For instance, there's rules about not touching women during certain times of the month. So I had to avoid her during those times of the month. Even more, though, if you take the Bible literally, it says, do not sit on a seat where a woman in that time of month has sat. So I had to, my wife thought this was sexist, so she sat on every seat in our apartment during her time. So I had to do a lot of standing.
And what about your extended family?
Well, I think there was a fear among my parents, who are secular, that I would go native and end up in a monastery or in Jerusalem. And I did visit Jerusalem, and it was a profound experience. And it did change me. I didn't, end up becoming a Hasidic Jew or an evangelical Christian. So I think they were happy I didn't make a full leap, but it did change me in significant ways.
Tell us about Uncle Gil.
Uncle Gil is one of the more fascinating members of my family. He's the official black sheep. And my family, as I mentioned, very secular, but he is the most religious man I think I've ever met. He's been through every religion. He's been a born again. He's been a Hindu cult leader. He had his own cult in the 70s. Buddhist, you name it. Now an Orthodox Jew. At one point, he decided to take the Bible completely literally himself. So there's a line in the Bible that says, "You shall keep your money close at hand," which most of us take to mean don't spend it everywhere. He took it literally and took all of his money out of the bank and tied it with a string around his hand. And I thought that this was an odd but kind of ingenious interpretation. So that was one of the inspirations for my project. Because in addition to an earnest spiritual journey, I wanted to almost take fundamentalism to the extreme and show that taking the Bible too literally is not the best way to approach the Bible, and that you're going to miss out on a lot of the poetry and metaphors.